In this episode, we'll cover the first half of Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, Chapter 1, Mishnah 1. The last episode introduced the Masechet of Makot as a whole and talks about the three topics that are going to be covered: Edom Zomim, the scheming witnesses, Galut, exile for being a manslaughterer, and lashes, the punishment for various different transgressions in the Torah. And we went through the verses that anchor the discussion around Edom Zomim, and now we're going to begin the Mishnah. The Mishnah starts with a kind of classic question that the Mishnah likes to ask, which is Ketzad, how so? It's a bit hard to translate, and normally you don't understand what a Ketzad question is until you've seen the answer. And in this case, this just seems to be sort of a more introductory thing to say, okay, now we're going to talk about Edom Zomim, because the question that it asks isn't actually answered until Mishnah 4, which we'll deal with in a few episodes' time. So the Mishnah says, Ketzad ha'edim na'asim zomimin. How do the edim, how do the witnesses become zomimin, scheming? What's the process by which they are declared edim zomimin, scheming witnesses? Like I said, that question actually is not going to be answered right now, the general procedure of declaring someone an ed zomim. We're going to get back to that later. What we are going to deal with in this Mishnah, however, is cases where it's hard to do va'asitem lo kasher zamam la'asot la'achiv. It's hard to implement the law where you're supposed to do to the scheming witness exactly what he tried to do to his fellow. The case here we have is it's sort of bizarre to actually implement this law because m'idin anu, the witnesses say, we testify be'ish ploni with a certain man, about a certain man, shehu ben gerusha or ben chalutza, that this guy is a son of a divorcee or a son of somebody who was done chalitza, meaning she was married to one man, the man died before they had any children, then she became in front of the lever, so the dead man's brother, and the dead man's brother had the opportunity to marry her and chose not to, did the chalitza ceremony, and so it's a kind of divorce, basically. So why does it matter? Why would you try to testify about somebody that they were a son of a divorcee or somebody who went through the chalitza ceremony? Well, the only reason it matters is because it would indicate a defect in a priestly lineage. So if you were talking about a kohen, somebody who is a kohen, the kohen is not allowed to marry a divorcee or somebody who went through chalitza. And so the person they're testifying about, their father was a Kohen, but in an invalid marriage. And when a Kohen was in an invalid marriage, it produces not Kohanim, not sons who are priests, but actually Chalalim, tainted priests, priests who have tainted lineage, and they were not allowed to serve as Kohanim, as priests. So that's what they're testifying to, is there these witnesses, these scheming witnesses, have come along and said, this guy, he's acting like a Kohen, but he's not really a Kohen. He's actually a Chalal. He's actually has a tainted lineage, and he shouldn't be treated as a Kohen. Now, to sort of apply that to somebody else, right, if you're just doing Vasitem lo kasher zamam, exactly what they scheme to do, then you should say that the witnesses have the status of ben Grusha or ben Chalutza, the son of the divorcee or son of the person who went through Chalitza. But that's kind of a bit of a bizarre thing to say, and it only matters anyway if they're a Kohen. So instead, the Mishnah gives you a different rubric of what you're supposed to do. Ein omrin yaseh zeh ben Grusha or ben Chalutza tachtav. You don't say that this person becomes a ben Grusha or ben Chalutza, the sort of tainted lineage, instead. Ela lo ke'arba'im. But instead, they just get 40 lashes. Meaning, it's sort of like the default punishment. If there's any kind of lo taseh, negative mit in the Torah, something, you know, do not do this, if you violate it, you end up getting 40 lashes. So here, they violated the prohibition about becoming an eid zomim and an eid sheker, a lying witness, and so they get the 40 lashes. In other words, you try to match up as much as possible, but there are some cases where it's not possible to match up basitem lo kasher zamam, what they actually scheme to do. It's not really possible to make that work. And so you can sort of default to the 40 lashes, which is the punishment for violating any particular negative commandment in the Torah. The Mishnah then has a second case, which also is bizarre to try to transfer to the Edom Zomimin. And another thing that's very nice about this opening Mishnah, it's actually introduced all three of the topics that the Masechet of Makot is going to be dealing with. So the second case is Me'idin Anu B'ish Ploni. There are witnesses who say, we testify about so-and-so, Shehu Chayav Liglot, that he is liable to be exiled because he killed someone by accident, and the punishment for doing that is exile to the city of refuge, which Rav Miriam Simmel will deal with in the next chapter. In that case, you don't say, Ein Omrim, Yigle Ze Tachtav, this guy, the witnesses, should be exiled instead, because they didn't actually manslaughter anybody. It's a bit of a strange punishment to transfer. Rather, they just get the 40 lashes. Dealt with Edom Zomim, which is the topic of this chapter, and we've dealt with manslaughter, which is the topic of chapter 2, and we've dealt with lashes, which is the topic of chapter 3. So we've sort of introduced the main themes that we're going to be dealing with. Looking forward to the next episode where we'll continue and see other cases that are surprising or difficult to actually implement, Basitem lo kasher zamam, and what the Mishnah thinks that you should do.